This is From Here, stories from people and about people in the Catskill Mountains. My name is Christina Huntwood. This is my story.
What?
Where did you get this?
I don't know.
At a festival, I think. I bought it.
It's perfect.
What the fuck?
It's scuttle.
It's kind of like skin and hair.
It looks like a little
finger.
Like cow nut or something.
It's scuttle.
Goat
it
testicle.
Pretty sure that's a
seed
scrotum.
It's, perfect, it's the perfect thing to throw Christina, right?
As a young child, I'd have this reoccurring dream that I was sitting inside my parents' 1970s station wagon, all alone. The sun was always seeming to be bright. It was a summer day, I think. And the vehicle would be inching forward, slowly and steadily. And I would scramble to the driver's seat, moving towards something, something that I wasn't sure of, and it frightened me. And that unknown place and my inability to stop it from happening was just very overwhelming. And I held on to that steering wheel, and I did try to stay on the road, but I don't even think I could reach the brake if I knew what it was. That car is embedded in my memories. I remember when I was really little, I didn't really understand the physics of the world. And we would be driving at night, and I'd see a car coming from the opposite direction, and our car going, you know, one way, they were coming the other way. And somehow, in these early memories, I could not fathom how these two cars could pass by each other without colliding. So I'd close my eyes, and the cars would pass through each other, presumably. And it was just absolute magic to me. I must have been three. And we were all safe. We were safe. But I think I had my eyes closed that whole time, so I didn't really understand the system in place. A road that was just wide enough for two cars to pass by each other. It was fine. Everything was good. It was, you know. And I also remember the moon and the stars as our family would drive through the night, and how on earth did that moon, that witchy thing, just keep following us for miles and miles of travel. When did I realize that this magic, this illusion, was not really that at all? But in a way, it is magic, because it has the ability to fool us into seeing something with a child's naivety. I played in creeks, catching tadpoles and bringing them home. We'd keep them in buckets and watch them grow. One by one, they'd sprout legs and become who they were always meant to be. I rode bikes with friends. No helmets in the 80s. No parent watching when our bodies lay mangled and screaming on the road. Skidding on gravel or losing control in a pothole. Road rash covering our elbows and legs. With tears tracked through the dust on our faces, we'd arrive home gasping and dragging our bikes. Flat tire, bent bar, broken pedal, maybe a concussion, but who cared about concussions back then? Some kids even came to school in casts, which we were really excited to sign. I could play all day in nature, make believe, king of the hill, on a boulder or a pile of wood or gravel, house under a covering of branches, dirt caked on our ankles and necks. We'd hop back on those bikes and go home for a snack, or go to Stewart's for an ice cream cone. You get a free scoop on your birthday, and I think on the 4th of July. At least it used to be that way. As I got older, summer days at the fair and meeting up with friends on wristband day were everything. If they stamped your hand instead of giving you the proper wristband, you could lick it and press the back of your hand to your friends. Sometimes you could transfer the imprint onto their hand, enough for it to get you both in, two for one. When we'd go to the farm, I'd always visit the calves. I still do that. You gotta give the calf two or three fingers to suckle upon, their choice. And then when you're done, you just wipe that slobber on your dungarees. Worry about the proper washing when you get to the milk room later. On hot days with sun-dried fields, we'd spend a whole afternoon haying square bales. One after another, bales would land into the hay wagon. Keeps you moving and sweating, and if you want to avoid scratched up arms, you gotta wear long sleeves. We would stack the bales as they drop into the hay wagon, stack them into tidy, tightly packed piles, repeating the process back in the barn. I would lay in the fields of wildflowers before the ticks took over. And after graduation, my friends and I camped atop Vroman's Nose. That was before they banned it. When I came home from college, friends from high school and I would always meet up for drinks. One night we rented a room at Deer Run Ski Mountain. Sometimes we just head over to the Belvedere, or just a bonfire, some shitty beer on some grandpa's property off some random dirt road. One night it was all about John's Tavern and Stamford. I got real drunk with some bikers and made friends with the biggest, burliest one. We danced and he picked me up and tossed me like a tiny little thing, and I am not a tiny thing. When the getting got real good, I climbed atop the bar and I kissed the moose mounted above it. It's a local tradition.
Huh. They do have a strange, like, consistency.
Yeah.
To them.
It's almost, you know what it is? Dude, I just thought about this. It's dried malt extract, which you can use to brew beer with. It's powder.
Why don't you make a Whopper beer?
God.
That would be awesome, actually. Damn.
A chocolate Whopper beer.
That'd be sweet.
Oh, chocolate Whopper.
just stick them right in the boil. Yeah.
You put the actual Whoppers in the boil?
Yeah, dump it right in. Like last 10 minutes or something.
That'd be neat. The Whopper.
Good job, Hannah.
Pete's Whopper.
Pete's Whopper.
All right, calm
Pete's
down.
Pete's Whopper carton beer.
Whopper boxer. No.
Yeah. Box Whopper.
My art practice has been deeply influenced by the place that I live. I live in rural upstate New York. It's very quiet. There are rolling hills. It's beautiful. It's not very densely populated, as you can imagine, being rural. People know each other. We know how we function. There's a lot of unspoken truths about who we are and things that we accept. And some of those things aren't necessarily good. They're good for maintaining a myth that we are better or just fine in the conditions that we're living in. But they're not good for progress, meaning that things change, life changes, people move to the area, the ways people think about things expands. And some of those myths that we hold on to are really destructive. And so in my art practice, you know, I use it as a way to navigate some of the worst parts of who we are as a community, but also as a culture. Because while I'm working from the microcosm of Delaware County, the themes that are in my work expand outward into pretty much all corners of the United States. I won't say they're entirely universal, but, you know, I do think that when you dig into the specific, you are able to capture the universal better, and the universal being like, you know, Western culture, American culture, whatever. You know, I travel long back roads throughout the Upper Catskills, and I collect discarded beer cans from the ditches. As a local, I know that this is something that we do. You know, you get out of work, it's hot, or you worked hard all day, and you just want a beer in your car. And you don't want anybody to tell you that you can or cannot have a beer, or if you don't want to wear your seatbelt. You don't want people telling you to do that either. And so it's not uncommon to drink a beer in your vehicle and then chuck the beer can out the window when you're done. They're road sodas, taking a beer for the road. It really is a rebellion, right? Like, I mean, it's a choice, you know, it's just like choosing to have a beer, but it's really also a rebellion against what the rules are, the laws, what might be safe or responsible. I was really inspired by the way my community responded to the increased display of Confederate flags in the area in 2015, and how many people just couldn't understand how harmful that symbol was to people who were Black and brown. Then I just started thinking about all of the microaggressions that people live through and experience, and what it means to collect all of those microaggressions and turn them into an archive or a document that highlights all of those experiences, and that it becomes a phenomenon. It's not just one incident, it's many incidents. And that's how I arrived at the beer cans collected. They're collected from roads, and each piece is named for the road or body of water that it was, that the cans were found on, as a way to draw attention to, this is a specific place, these are cans that came from that place, this is the impact of people just throwing a can out the window. I take these beer cans and I dismantle them, I kind of cut them apart, and I turn them into these like long strips of fringe, and then I reassemble them into panels. These panels are works of art. They're meant for art world, but also to be accessible to people who are not necessarily, you know, into art world. And my point in transforming it into art is to sort of create something that is familiar and accessible to people who aren't art worldy, something that's attractive and has resonance, but also for art world to consider the ways that this theme exists within more, if you want to say, refined spaces. My hope is that these pieces being shown within the art world will not only draw attention to some of the power structure of rural upstate New York and the way I'm navigating it and how I process it, but also that it will resonate and perhaps get people, viewers, to think about everyday expressions of power in their own world and in their own lives, because we all are complicit. We all exert power over spaces or other people, and you know, some people cause more harm than others, but I just think that art has this power to help people consider their position in the world. From Here is a Get Woke Catskills production made possible with the generous support of the New York State Council on the Arts, Roxbury Arts Group, and the Mark Project.